Why? Tzelem. It's a beautiful Rosh HaTevis. Rosh HaTevis is Tzelem. Tzelem. We'll learn about Tzelem. Tzelem is a big, big concept in the Ari. Tzelem. Right, Sivya, it's even in order. Wow, Sivya, Lipa, Bas, Miri, Selim. Ah, see, after this, Shema.
Here, I'm sorry, I need to make a quick call. Today was late, I'll make sure to be getting my son. Okay, so it says Kiddush, and then if a person made Kiddush, and before he ate, before he tasted the wine, it spilled.
What happened?
It spilled out.
It spilled.
What happened? Just did the Kiddush. When that person got the bracha from the Berei Mayim Chayim, I don't know if you remember the story, the simple guy, he said, give me your Shabbos.
Uh-huh.
He apparently was so completely overwhelmed during Kiddush, he spilled the wine a couple of times, like three times. He just couldn't move down, no more wine. Okay, so they refilled, but he's in the middle of Kiddush. But what if you finish Kiddush and then all spills out? What do you do then? He says, you bring him another cup. And on that cup, you have to make a very pure gospel. If you didn't have a mind to drink wine, or there wasn't wine in front of you, which you very likely would have drank. If there was wine in front of you, and you often would drink, and you take your bracha, and you made a Kiddush for that wine, you can just pour the wine without making a bracha and drink the cup.
Now, what if you're making Kiddush over bread?
Over bread? He's going to give us... We didn't do it yet. I don't know about today. Maybe today. Here. It's supposed to be tomorrow. Maybe we'll get to it today. We'll see. He has the entire thing of what you do. Okay. Everything. And paragraph 28. That's the last paragraph that we need to be learning before we made up last week. And then hopefully this Wednesday we'll try to do the whole thing. It's a little less. It's only 21 paragraphs. Candlelighting. What are the candles about?
There's an interesting difference between Sephardim and Ashkenazim on how they hold which is more important, by like the wine, by if you only have one glass of wine by day or wine by morning, which way you use it. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head what it was.
Don't know. Sorry. Hmm. Maybe. No, I think I think is everyone holds.
What, everyone holds that?
What he says. Uh-huh. He says, if you don't have for Abdullah, you make by night and by day on bread. If you have for Abdullah, you make by night because it's more important than by day. By day, you make on something else. That's if I remember right, that's what he said. We just did it yesterday.
Right, because night was biblical.
That's exactly right.
And day is Rabbanan.
That's what he says, exactly. Precisely. I believe that's what he said. That's his reason. Therefore, it's much more important. He says, some opinions hold you didn't make on wine. You didn't do your Torah obligation, even though it's hard to understand why is that so. There's a Prima Gaudium. Maybe there's a contradiction of the Prima Gaudium. There's two places. But nevertheless, you don't want to, you want to have wine. You want to do it right. So therefore, so bread works the same way. It's true. But since it's such an important time, it's such an important thing, so then you do... Okay. So what are you doing? You just bring another cup of wine, and you make a brei peregof. Please don't forget to get Isaac. Thanks.
Now that's for spilling the complete coast. What about if you just made a mess, but you still have enough for the?
It's fine. No problem. You just drink it and enjoy it. If you're sometimes, if you have a really emotional Kiddush and you have a couple of napkins, and you make sure to have your family already learns, you have put a whole bunch of napkins in front of him, he's already, who knows, I hope he keeps the cup, certainly not going to, without spilling any, like impossible, so that's very good, actually. So you're really, you're involved, you're emotional about the Kiddush, it's kind of great. Kiddush is a very emotional experience. מלך העולם שחטו מיד בורד. Okay. Don't make Kiddush though. You did Kiddush on a full cup of wine. You don't need to make Kiddush again. Just make sure you get a glass of wine. But also, if you spoke, You're making Kiddush. Maybe not the most emotional Kiddush. Some guy, you know, and his friend Johnny walks in. Hey, Johnny, how you doing? How's it? Wait a minute, let me call it Kiddush. Your Agafen is goodbye. Your Kiddush, your Bracha of Kiddush still works, but that Agafen disappears. So if you finish, you finish the whole Kiddush, and, you know, you just finished Brim Pasher Shabbos, without drinking any, you have a problem. You have to, unless it's somehow related to the meal. If you say, feed the cats, feed the bird, that B'dievit doesn't ruin your grape juice, because they're supposed to have before you, there is such a thing as giving before you, it has something to do with the meal. You say, get a placemat for the guests, bring salt, do this, whatever you say, that was okay, don't do it if you can avoid it, drink first, but you can. But not, hey, how you doing? You know, that doesn't work so well. Okay. Because it has nothing to do with the meal. People who are sitting and hearing the Kiddush also should interrupt with speech before the person making Kiddush drinks, but if they do, it still works. But they should wait.
Now, how much wine from the Kiddush cup should your guests have?
Even the slightest amount is good. The truth is, Rabbi Yashiv is a little bit stringent here. Most opinions say, you take a cup, you pour a little from the Kiddush cup in there, it's all Kiddush wine. That's the prevalent custom. Rabbi Yashiv is a little bit like, he says, no, it's only the cup you made Kiddush on. Adding wine from that doesn't really do it. That's his opinion. I can shut this down. That's his opinion. So, but like I said, the prevalent custom, like, I never heard of that.
I don't understand what he's saying.
He says, it's only the cup you blessed that's blessed. If you pour from that cup, it doesn't continue to move on to another cup. That's his opinion. But, like I said, most, the custom certainly, I mean, if you tell that to somebody, and he might be from anywhere, except for Yashiv's students, he's going to say, what? That's not true. You put it in, it becomes everybody, like nobody ever heard of this. Like he has his own, he has a proof that he feels that according to that, it comes out that it doesn't help to pour a little of a Kiddush wine. You have to give, so therefore, what he says you do is you have, let's say, a big cup and you have a bunch of cups around. You pour a little bit from the Kiddush cup in each cup. Not pour a little bit in another cup. The other cup, that other grape juice or wine stays, it doesn't become all Kiddush wine. We hold not like that. I never heard of that even until I
ran into
this. No. This is Rav Yashiv. I don't know if it's an Arizal like that, but I never saw it.
You know, it's funny. I had a rabbi in Bershuva that asked a couple of rabbis. So
yeah. Could be that. Could be there are other opinions. And maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe you'd say, no, there are lots of Jews who don't do more pour in the cup. You know, I don't know. I have to admit. So I guess I maybe should take that back and be careful what you say. I had never heard of it or met anyone who'd heard of it or been in a house that they were open about it, that it's a problem. I've been in a lot of houses, everyone puts the wine in the... But maybe there is an opinion that's very strong.
So like if I'm making Kiddush, and then I pour a little bit into another cup, which is mostly full of grape juice, and then that's filled into... That's used to fill the other cups. Is that okay?
Yes, that's what I do. Hope it's okay. Rabbi Yashiv says no, but like I said, I think the prevalent custom is that it's no problem with them.
Interesting to see where he got his smart from. Interesting to see where his sources are, where he gets it.
Even more, he gets even more than that for. Okay.
What does he say?
I can read it to you, but yeah, I'm looking. It's not, again, it's very stringent. He says, he seems to say that, let's say you drink from the Kiddush cup, right? Now you want to give it out. If you give it out, they have to drink from your cup now. If you add wine even to this cup, it's also no longer kosher, bro. Like pretty, that's what he seems to say. That's even more than I remembered.
Wow, that's good.
That's pretty.
You can add more to it.
The mitzvah on the...
On the wine in the cup.
Yeah.
But if you pour the cup in the bottle, if someone else wants to make Kiddush from that bottle, they can't.
Wait a minute, ain't Yaina Nosa. No. Wait. Maybe he's saying something much easier. No, I think not. Yep, that's what he's saying.
He says, but the majority is kosher bracha. It doesn't help. And he's very, you know, he's very open. I don't care if it's the majority.
What are you saying? Kiddush Yatif Bayom, and you accidentally say, start with the second bracha by night.
Wait. No, wait. No, it's not what he's saying. He says, like, he does say, yes, for sure, you can't add. What is the difference?
One second.
You have to have a bigger
cup. You have to have a huge cup. In
that case. Kos shebiracha. The mitzvah is to drink from the cup that you made the bracha on.
Right.
He holds you should have a cup in front of each person with a ravias of wine, and then when I make kiddush, that works in all of their cups, and you don't have to pour any in. That's what he holds. That's his opinion. It's a totally very interesting opinion. See? He said, okay, first of all, I didn't say exactly right. He said, if you have a cup of kiddush, right, and
right.
you drank a little,
right.
the added wine is not special wine. So it's only what was originally there that says kosher bracha. I'm not sure what the difference is, because it gets mixed in. So you have a little kosher bracha, and a little not kosher bracha.
So if
I'm not really clear what
standard kiddush cup is, what? Two reviv, three reviv?
What if you leave the bottle open?
No. Bottle open, garnish. These are as we said, bottle zero. If it's sitting in front of you when you make kiddush, zero. If it's in front of you when I make kiddush, and it has reviv, that's a kosher bracha.
So if you have your standard kiddush cup, which is like, what, two reviv, something like that,
yeah, uh-huh.
and you pour up, you pour in a little bit to everyone's cup, you still have like a ravine and a half, and you drink that, that's fine?
That, we hope it's fine. He doesn't seem to be happy with that either. I don't think he's happy with that either. It's a drink from the cup that was blessed on, not another cup. I'm not sure if the wine poured out from the other cup. It's not so clear.
Because we're talking about for the guests, right?
Yeah, yeah. I do what you said. I don't do this.
I do this too.
But I'm just saying there is such a stringency. There is. I don't know if anyone ever heard of it.
I'm just trying to figure out what he's saying.
I've been in a house that did that. They gave out glass to everyone, and they had their own release, and then they took the rough and everyone drank. I've been in a house like
that. That's him. That's his opinion.
Who's it?
Rabbi Yashin.
I'm trying to remember.
Oh, yeah, that's why the Litvish. So
I guess, yeah. Again, I never read. I'm Litvish, or came from Litvish place, so I never saw it even. But that's his opinion.
There's
a lot of different things in Litvish, it's not just one.
Whereas my Rav was Hasidic, and so he was trying to bring everyone in that direction.
I don't understand the difference between that.
What's the difference between that and being bottle open? Because the bottle's open, it's a kli that's open, and it would work the same way. Because the bracha comes down, fills the kli, affects the.
Not clear why it doesn't count. Like it mixes. Somehow he's not. He's discounting the fact that it mixes it with a little kosher bracha. He doesn't care. I'm not sure why.
That's because the bottle is closed, and then you pour the.
A bottle? No, he says the bottle is not.
It has to be, can't be a bottle.
No.
An open bottle.
Says that's, yeah, but open bottle, he said open bottle is nothing.
But it would if a non-kosher Jew, or not, if what Zara was done with an open bottle, would affect it.
He says, what's the difference? If you give out a little less to each person, then they're getting kosher bracha. If you add it to the cup, you didn't add anything, because the kosher bracha is only the original. That's what he says. So just give a little less to each person, I guess, or let them drink from the cup. Since the Mishabura said it's better not to drink from a cup that's blemished, so we hold, again, this is also a whole its own Indian of what and how. But the kitzur, what we do is, again, we pour a little in, we pour a little bit in from the, before you take, many people before you take kiddush, because you're afraid people are going to be disgusted by it, or we're not worried about the pogrom, whatever.
I have to ask someone that's close to the Chofetz Chaim, I could probably ask what he did.
Like I said, there's prevalent custom, that's what I said. I don't know if it's Chofetz Chaim, but prevalent custom is this. You pour a little in,
Or you drink first, then pour in, and you're not worried about kos pogum, and not worried about it being blemished. And the new wine is kilu because it gets mixed in. We hold it in halacha that a liquid, it's all homages, it all gets mixed in 100%. So therefore, you're getting a little kosher bracha. Yeah, it's not 100% kosher bracha. Who said I have to drink 100% all the kosher bracha? I mean, I don't really know. I'm not sure if he's coming to. He might not be coming. It doesn't seem like he's coming to deny that. He's just saying if you want to do it right. But again, he says you have to drink from the cup that was blessed. Like, does he mean?
Does it mean you pour a little bit of that cup in all the other brewies? Is that what he's saying?
Just 1 second, sorry.
Some people pour two cups, one they hold, and the other one's there. Then they get pour from the kiddush cup into the second cup, and then do that one.
Right, that's
yeah, that's what we do.
That's wrong.
I mean, he doesn't seem to be. He doesn't seem to be thrilled with that somehow. Maybe he's okay with that.
Oh, interesting. Maybe it's
he's just saying it's pogum. Maybe he's just saying it was drank from, so it's not great. But why can't I pour before I drink? Because it's not 100% clear.
Is he saying once it's drank from, it's pogum?
Hmm. Yeah.
So how can you give it to? Let me see. Everybody does that, though.
I don't. I pour first. Then I pour first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I do. I pour.
And then what do? You give your wife the one that you drink from, or do you give her?
No, they just give it out. They give it out when there's at a certain point. I don't know. It must be 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I will not name which kids, but one or two of my kids said, "Listen, we don't like the girls at the table anymore." So since they did that, we're like, okay. So because the kids were very, very prudent, we started separating the tables. So since then, we have two tables. I do two cups of wine, and I send one to the women and one to the men if they're women. And if not, so then I do one cup, and each person takes whatever they need to take.
There's some women that only want to drink out a cup of their husband.
There's a need a problem because if he gives out a cup. To each person, he can't give her a specific cup to her. So either he pours a whole bunch of cups, and then it gets passed around.
She can pick her own.
And picks her own. Or she has to take his cup.
She could do it. Well, there's not any.
But he can't send her a cup.
She could take it.
Because it's chibur.
The man cannot?
The man cannot, which is indeed, cannot give her a cup of wine or some other alcoholic beverage.
And she has to take it for
herself. Either she can take for herself from a few.
Yeah.
From everyone else, or she can drink from his cup, or he can pour it in a general cup, and then someone else skips it out. Not him.
And she must hold it with Sparta and hold it. The woman can take the cup from her husband, but she has to go in the room and drink it, not in front of her husband.
Kind of not.
Okay. A slight difference there, but she can't do it in front of her husband.
I believe that.
But she can't drink from his cup.
She can.
She can't in the other room.
He can't drink from her cup.
No,
he can't. Yes, yes.
Then I have a question. I make kiddush. I pour into another cup,
mm-hmm.
which is full of grape juice, and I hand that to my daughter, who pours it for everyone.
Perfect. Excellent. Now, some people don't like what we do, you and I. They say, you need to drink immediately, as close as possible to the bracha.
Yeah.
So how do you waste that extra 2 seconds and pour in the water? That's what Chaim Piatsky said, and others say. And they say, if you want to tell me that it disgusts people to drink from your or my mouth, they know we're not sick, so they don't have a problem. I know people in today's modern day and age, I don't know what it used to be the Ben Chai's time, I don't know what it's like in Bnei Brak, maybe people are not particular. But for me, you don't want to drink from someone else's cup, you don't want, even family, it's just not done, it's not
exactly.
hygienic,
exactly.
it's not done. So it's like, I don't have a choice, they won't want to drink, it's like going to make them feel uncomfortable, so I have no choice but to pour it. It's like I can't drink first.
Right.
So I, that's why I do it.
Exactly.
There are posts, I forgot, that come out that you're allowed, it's not
it's
a problem.
Very interesting how things have changed.
Oh.
Wow. And you have one, yes, like an opinion that if you don't drink from the cup, then you don't get it.
It seems to
and
be.
Nowadays,
yes.
it's like you have people yeah. that can't do it because they get sick.
No, I can't even, it's not 100%
this
clear.
It's amazing yeah. how change things.
Exactly.
He might
that
be.
That one's like, it's special. You drink from the cup.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't want to drink from that cup.
But it really become from a society in America that's still clean and
like, sounds like that. Sounds like what I'm saying. Pouring in it is not good enough. That's what he seems to be saying.
They don't want to drink, they want to touch the food that someone looked at. It's like,
That's what it appears to be saying.
Everyone wants that little plate of
meat. Well, you know, the whole mentality of disposable this and disposable that.
Yeah. You have people walk around now with little things that clean their hands in their pocket and just always.
I had given him, and he always sees on the top. I can, and he was before. So I give him all this.
They're comfortable, sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what my wife is just, especially when the girls have colds.
Especially when what?
She always changes the hand towels. Two or three times a day.
When they have colds, that's it.
No one in the States would ever think about eating finger food. Like, they only are going to use their silverware. It's like not a...
Falafel.
No way. It's like...
You know the story about the shopkeepers? And there was there's a minion. Nine lid cocks and one button. And the lights went out. And there was one piece of clothing. Do you know what that is? What is this? Awesome.
And he got 9 fortunes. Oh, yeah. I'll be back in a
second. It's true. It's so funny. Everyone has good. It's shit.
I'm thinking too.
Yeah,
I don't like wiping my hands on a wet towel after 10 other people. When the towel is wet, because it doesn't dry.
Right.
There's no point.
That's a problem. Shabbos.
But, yeah, it's weird.
But it's just, you know, it's like very interesting, different, like, really, people in the States over the top when it comes to.
And they're getting more over the top, too.
It's scary, and it's created a big problem. Because now the bodies don't have a natural immune system.
Yeah, when we were kids, we, like, rolled around in dirt, and, like, probably ate dirt and stuff.
They say if you wanted your kids to grow up and have a normal immune system, you would play on a farm with them. You would play with animals, and they get the natural.
Sorry.
Okay, now, see this or machshava?
This separate topic?
No, we're going to... I'd like to explain a little bit about see this or the machshava, something chassidut or chassidut-like on each halacha. We learned, you spill a cup, you bring another cup, and you make a guffin if you didn't have much to drink more wine. So, what does that mean? Or what does something about it mean? Let's see. I don't remember. Maybe I just use that. That's a very powerful thing. Where it comes out from Kol Chayim is, he says, listen, if you decided to do tshuva, whatever a person, he says the same idea very often, in this Kiddush especially, that the wine, that's what Adam and Chava messed up, so anything that was the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, so anything we're having a hard time with, that stems from the wine. The idea of sanctifying the Geffen is trying to improve and become holy in whatever's holding you back, whatever we have, whatever the negative. She says, spilling it means you made a determination, you absolutely decided, but somehow you just didn't get it together. You didn't make a break for a Geffen. It didn't. He says, you don't need to make another Kedusha. Your first determination, you have to realize that first determination, if you're sincere, you're serious, it holds. But you need to bring it in. You need to make another break for a guffin, and you need to bring it in, you need to be appreciated, but it doesn't have to dissipate. It's up to us. Something happens, we get pressure, we get it all flips over, it gets impossible to hold on to. But your determination is still, it's still there. On the contrary, that shows that the person's on the right true path. When you have barriers, that shows that you're on the right path and you're doing well. That's what we find in the Holy Word. Especially that he's held back. So what's holding me back, that's showing, that's a way of, Muslim says, brought them many places, this idea of it.
Even when you get there, like let's say you get there, whatever getting there means, but you're still going to have barriers, still going to have problems.
No, they're different, but they're different aspects, they're different yonim. Let's give an example. Someone went to Rav Shach. He said, Rabbi, I cannot stop smoking. I can't do it. I feel like I have a headache. I feel like I just can't do it. So Shach said, I don't understand. If you made an absolute determination, then you stop it, finish, it's over. What's to do with the decision? So when I stopped smoking, I started to have terrible headaches. I waited 6 months. Every day I had a headache. I went to Briskerov. I said, I'm having a hard time. Every day a headache. Am I supposed to smoke or not? He said, no, it'll pass. Just 6 months, no problem. You just hold on. And I held on. I said, what do you mean? You made a decision, you made a determination, you did it. So sometimes again, there's something's happened, it flips over, and it gets very hard to hang on. It doesn't mean that the kedusha is not there, and the ruts is not there, and you can't do it. You can do it, you have to get another, you have to realize this stems from the, right, this coast, this nice little coast, and I have to use this as a brach for Hashem. This is the way I'm before Hashem, is by putting it, containing this bechin of the wine, and bringing it in, and sanctifying myself. And this matter, but you have to know that every time you try, it also is worthwhile. It also brings you where you're supposed to go. It's a next step. It's not, you don't lose it. The kiddush you didn't lose. That's the point he's trying to focus on. You don't lose the kiddush. It's this Shabbos. Next Shabbos is a different kiddush, but the kiddush you didn't lose. But sometimes we're pretty good, and even if it looks like it flipped over, the cup fell. Like I dropped the whole line. I dropped the ball. You didn't drop the ball. You dropped the ball. Yeah. He said no. Yes. He said it doesn't matter. He said that doesn't matter. That's what he's saying. Very beautiful idea. That's a little bit the chesedus of what.
Eventually, the part of the wine that's spilled on the
saucer. Chayim can. Why not? Yeah. At the contrary, some people are very careful not to give up. They wanted to be careful to drink that wine, not to throw it out. Not to give up on the sales. It's kosher bro. Maybe not like what it's not clear. Like I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure what he's saying. Rabbi Yashiv here. It's not 100% clear. I mean, he might hold that it's good. It doesn't seem that way.
I don't know what to do now.
Why? You just pour in the cups. That's what everyone does. I'm just bringing that there's an interesting opinion.
But there's got to be more of an answer there, like more of an understanding.
Usually you do what the minig is, that's good enough. You don't have to, the Rebbe is not into chumash, be careful, not too much chumash. Usually, again, it depends on the person. Sometimes a chassid, Rav Shlomo Zalman says a chassid, he feels that he's showing. It's like
my family doesn't care, whatever we do is fine.
No, that's a different, you know, but when sometimes when you want to,
I just want to know what's going on.
When you love someone, and you show your love by being extra careful. So that's if you feel that way when you're doing your shrinishi, that's great. You're working on being a chassid. Excellent. But if you don't feel that way, if it's tedious for you, don't do it. That's the Rebbe. Don't do it then. It's not, you're not whatever. So most people, they're just not holy. You have to know where you are. You know where you really are. I'm not in a place where I'm going to worry. I'm just going to trying to. I have a lot to work on, bro. This is not what I'm working on.
Is there a tradition and sources where he talks about that? Like
I can give you, I can look it up for you if you want to remember.
Interesting.
Well,
really, maybe
our
results is something about
it. I don't think so. I don't know. People learn things out from Irene. Maybe there is too. As far as I remember, there's no such thing. Did Shlomo bring us? No, no way. Just, let's see what he says. I'll tell you everything. He says, we're not going to do this. His Seder HaKiddush. It's just too long. It's as long as the whole thing is fine. As long as all the halachas, it's just way too long.
Wow.
But I don't think we're going to do it.
And then you
should have to get his own Seder? No, he goes through every single thing he's supposed to do from the Ari.
Oh, please.
I don't know if we're going to do that. Maybe. Possible.
Yeah, that's long.
It's kind of long, yeah.
Let's just do it.
Well, okay. It's possible. We'll have to see. We'll see. We're doing Kiddush. I want to do the Ari in Kiddush. We'll do this in Kiddush. we'll see what happens. I'm okay with doing it. I'm not particularly. A lot of it is just his, well, his prayer. He has a beautiful prayer that we're supposed to say. That's a lot of his truth.
It's more than what the artist says to do?
The prayer? It's his own prayer. It's based on the Ari.
What does he say? What's a prayer?
It's a beautiful prayer. From here to...
Yeah.
Okay,
my wife wants to be a
little faster, so I have to see what I'm talking about. Rabbi Yosef says you don't have to say the prayer. But if you want to, you can.
Yeah, I start before everyone gets to the table. Otherwise, it's too long.
Yeah, I can't do it. I haven't managed it. Although, you know, depends what you're holding by. The Ari says that the tikkun of Shabbos is to learn all the Mishnayos of Shabbos and Shabbos.
Wow.
So the Ben Ishchai says, 8 prukim Friday night, you're for sure going to strike out. It's like, no way. And that's what it comes out. It's like 8 chapters. No. You do 4 chapters Friday night, and you make up in the day the rest of the Friday night somehow.
Four.
But again, people are like, you know, so it depends where you are. Some people don't want the Mishnayos. If you're holding by there, if you know what they say, you know what they are, you do it. Great. That's also fun if you can do it. It's wonderful.
Wow.
And then there's the Chassidus and the Machshava and all the beautiful Mishnayos, which I don't think they've ever done. Like, all of it. Shabbos, all the Chassidus and Mishnayos. I thought that would be, like, really special. That would be amazing. Wow. I have never managed it, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Just little bits here and there, Baruch Hashem.
One. Okay.
Yeah, the Ben Ishchai says you drink from the cup that they make kiddush on. He doesn't seem to say about it. That's what it seems to say.
My baby has to come from Arizal then.
I don't know.
Because see, I didn't know how that did it.
If you look and see, I don't know. There's only Rabba. I found my other Rabba today. So I could look it up. I don't know what it says. I have to look. Yes, it is. It's certainly true. Okay.
He's saying in Revelation, saying it too.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I have to look and see. I have to see. I don't know. I'm not sure. Hopefully, you know, you want to look. You look at it all.
Major diseases, TB.
What? You can't give that over by, TB.
Tuberculosis.
Yeah, no, I heard, I thought it said TB. I'm a little, something that I mishear. So yeah, TB you can't give over, but TB, yeah, TB is kind of a bad shame. Yeah. That's simple. It's pretty much gone, I think.
Oh, and it's come back in a vengeance.
Okay.
And it's, resistant to most antibiotics now.
There's a special experiment
we
get when we learn Torah.
See, what's the thing that's supposed to be eradicated? Polio. There's actually real life cases of kids that have polio in Baghdad.
Right, that has to do with the vaccine they were used by the World Health Organization was contaminated.
No, recently.
That's what I'm talking about.
3 years ago?
Yep.
In Baghdad, they did that?
They did it all over the world, including here. Most cases now are from the vaccine instead of through other sources.
When did that happen? How many years ago did they get the polio vaccine? That was live?
Yeah, five.
5 years ago?
Yeah.
2007? No, 2009. No, I was in Baghdad in 2001. They had live cases of COVID, which was unheard of.
Well, Chaim Pelagi says that the book, the bottle on the table, it does become. Chaim Pelagi, but not Rayashev does not agree.
Because
that's all, he's bringing the whole thing. He says it says in the Gemara to give the cup, so it sounds like it's better to drink from the cup, but you don't have to. But that's what he's, that's what they're basing it on. And Rayashev also, he might not disagree that it's kosher broken before it somewhere else. He just wants to do it the best way, drinking from the cup.
Look, if a Avodah Zarah can do wine libation and can affect the bottle that's open on the table,
mm-hmm.
why couldn't a bronca also affect the bottle?
It affects it. The question is if it's kosher. It does affect it. It's great. Rav Sternbach says, try to drink a little of the wine to have a shaychus.
Real close.
He does say it's maybe, because some say, but if it's kosher bracha, it's not so clear. There's another reason also.
Even if they touch the
bottle. It's easier to ruin something than to fix something, though. Wow. Ruining something is very easy, it's no problem. Fixing is a little hard.
So then, if you have someone over who's not Shomer Shabbos,
uh-huh.
or worse, practicing, you know, like Reform Judaism or something like that,
mm-hmm.
then you have to really be careful.
Okay, here's the deal.
I mean, assuming you're non mushul.
Yes. Now, they have to be Yash. This is in this one. It's the other one. He said, okay, I have a business thing with someone. He's coming for Shabbos, or I'm meeting him to eat. If I don't drink wine, and I know it's kosher bottle, but he might pour me, it'll be very uncool. Like, I'm going to be in big trouble. He's my boss. Do I have to? Because there's a whole dispute whether or not, as someone who doesn't really know better, he doesn't understand what Shabbos is. Is he like the same as someone who dropped Shabbos, his wine is 100% yain, it's like a baya. But someone who doesn't know better, could be, you can rely, like, it's not so simple. He's like an idolater. They made it, clearly made a decree on his wine. It's not so clear. There are different opinions. So Yashua was very not happy. He said, I'm very not happy with you drinking that wine. He said, yes, but if you really have no choice, you can rely on the shitas. So I always do my best. When I have people at my table, I do not use my mavushal usually. So I pour the wine. It's my pleasure to pour everyone's wine, and I pour the wine. It's like as if it's my obligation as a host. Nobody touches the wine. Very careful when I get a kiddush. I stand up. I walk over each person. I give, this is your portion. I start from the back so they shouldn't pass up. I have a whole mahalach, and hopefully. And I can't say we've never messed up. Sometimes you leave a bottle on the table and then it's gone.
Because I was at a forum student.
You didn't pick it up, is it gone?
Baya. If you decide that it's no good, it's baya.
Because I was at a
forum. That's a Jew who threw Shabbos away, or through a Jew that doesn't keep Shabbos doesn't know any better.
It's a machlok is about a Jew who doesn't keep Shabbos doesn't know any better. But Yasha, like you said, he's not thrilled about relying on the leniency. The thing about Kamenetsky is lenient in general. It's not a problem. But others are very not happy with that.
For instance, I have a friend. Okay? Mm-hmm. When he made Aliyah, he wasn't keeping anything. He when he turned 13, his whole family went off to Derek, and he went off to Derek. The whole story. They all were very from, and they went all off to Derek. And so he didn't want to do it either, so...
They were also from, too bad they didn't have a Muna. Okay, right, yeah, right.
The whole story,
they had a Muna, that wouldn't have happened, okay, yeah. Unfortunately, sadly.
There's a big fight with the rabbi, it's a terrible
Whatever.
Story. So what ended up happening is that they all went off to Derek.
Very big hat.
So, but he came to Israel and he started to slowly keep things.
Oh, great.
And now he's up to keeping Shabbos.
Excellent.
So, it's an amazing story. But the question is like, how should I deal with that kind of situation?
What's the problem? Keep Shabbos, great.
Now, but before, would have been a problem.
Before would have been a problem, yeah. I mean, again, there are different opinions of whether he's any different than anybody else. Well, what way does he know better? Because he had big hats. I mean, his whole family went off with Derek. He was 13. He surely didn't have any seichel. You know, what's the name of Moshe Talant? I don't remember which great authority it was. The non-Jewish authorities came to him and they said, we'd like to give a series of several, many-hour lectures and
conferences with your youth, your 13-year-olds, about religion, because you hold that 13 has received achieved majority, so they can make their own decisions, right? So you said, no. The halacha is a 13-year-old, until he's 20, can't sell his family ancestral land because he doesn't have enough understanding to know 100% get rid of what's his from his father. He doesn't know how to value it yet. So when he's 20, then you could, they were like a waste of time. They wanted to get the youth. Like, all right, forget it. It's like, sometimes 13, like, what is that? It has no meaning. What does he know? Nothing. And the parents don't, we're probably do nothing also. What do they know? Why do you do this? Because you do it. I mean, that's not good enough. Sorry. If you're excited and connected, fine. But if not, then...
I mean, the reason I asked is because I was at a Purim Suda, and it was completely mixed. I had absolutely no idea who was there or what they were holding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, it's like, for me, I would suddenly not want wine.
So, if I was at that person's Suda, it would be a problem.
Yeah, I had a problem. I had a major problem, especially when people were grabbing my bottle of organic grape juice.
Well, if it was pasteurized, it's not that bad. At least according to Moshe, it's called that it's, if it's pasteurized, it's
I think it's Mavushel. I'm not sure. Mavushel. I just don't remember.
If it's Mavushel, so it's not a problem. They can't really.
I'm trying to remember whether it's Mavushel or not.
If it's Mavushel, you're fine. If they're grabbing your bottle, don't drink from their bottles.
Right.
But anyway, if you have organic, usually you don't want the inferior stuff anyway, whatever for. But if you have a not Mavushel, you have a problem.
Right, that was my concern. I just did not know. I knew it was organic, but I didn't know whether it was Mavushel or not.
How about the bottles of like liquor too? Also,
I think only wine. I think it's only wine, if I remember right.
It's only wine because liquor's been distilled anyway, right. By definition.
It's not grapes. They didn't use it on the libations on their altar. It's irrelevant. Again, because of what we're learning from. That's what we're learning from.
Cognac.
It could be it's a problem. I don't remember. But certainly a regular like
good headshot.
Chivas or something. Like I don't think a guy can ruin it. You have a different problem. You're not supposed to drink in a bar. You're not supposed to drink this sort of stuff with a non-Jew. It's like you can be influenced. You're not supposed to be drinking buddies with such a person in his home or in a bar. It's not a good place. Like that's our halachic problem anyway. Besides the fact that guys maybe not the cleverest to go in such a place. Besides that, you have a halachic problem also. But if you're just drinking at home, it's not a, you know, hopefully within reason.
Have these bars in the city there?
They have hechsherim, yeah.
I have no idea.
Okay, so first of all, so if they do, so then if they're not drinking, it's non-Jews. They say it's Jewish, it's different. It's not like in New York. Non-Jews are a problem. Jews, they say, what are you drinking and what's the problem? What could be wrong? One little drink with your dinner and another drink and another drink and another drink. Mm-hmm. Another drink.
Well, that brings up another issue.
Uh-huh. Which issue?
That much alcohol?
Well, people can be foolish sometimes. I mean, I'll tell you, like I said, for me, I had a bottle on my table, I had somebody, for sure, a few people for sure did not keep Shabbos, and I forgot about it for a minute, and someone poured us over, like, there goes my wine for Shabbos, hello. And we had grape juice, and that was it. No more wine. No wine for a dog, no wine for me. And I bought some more wine. That was the end. It was always like, that bottle is history. Goodbye.
How do you define a person who keeps Shabbos? The kid who steps off the airplane on birthright and he lands up in Asia Torah for a couple of days and he's stuck in Shomer Shabbos.
It could be good enough, yeah, because some people hold you to not Shomer Shabbos, it works. So for this, it's not that bad.
And what about me? I haven't learned all that for Shabbos.
Oh, okay, that's a different bechina. They're different in Yonah. There's someone who wants to keep Shabbos and tries to keep Shabbos. That's what he's keeping Shabbos. He doesn't deny Shabbos. He doesn't deny. It doesn't mean he never. What I accidentally. No, the wine. Don't give me the wine because I accidentally turned on the light. It doesn't work that way. It was an accident. It was an accident. I didn't mean. That's something I planned. I wasn't saying, turn on the light. I'll turn off the light. It wasn't planned. It was whatever it was.
What about a person who wants to keep Shabbos, but they don't want to learn the halachos? Like they're not. That's not where they're holding.
They don't know better. That's okay. They're keeping. They're doing what they know. The idea is that they're doing what they know. It's not great, but I wouldn't call it Machal Shabbos. I don't sit and work it out. It's very hard to, anyway. How are you supposed to tell? Generally speaking, that's how it works. And on the contrary, if I have the slightest suspicion, so I pour the wine. We do our best. I mean, there's a nice sort of vendor, Rav Leibowitz Bender. He was talking to a few people, come to my Seder. So there was a Jewish, half informant. The guy was totally not religious, a communist. He'd been, like, every one of those years, more or less, had been at some point, in some way, usually. So he said, can I also come to the Seder? So he started thinking, like, what do I do with this guy? He's mamish, he's anti, an atheist. He's like, sure, but, hopefully you enjoy it, we'd love to have you. He kept for a second, oh, good. So he came into the Seder when they started, and before he poured the wine, he said, you should know, the only one who pours wine, it's my duty, I hold like the authorities, that you're supposed to pour wine, the host pours everyone's wine. And this guy, like, his face fell a little, he figured out that he's the problem, he figured it out. But, it was such a nice, ruach, such a nice spirit. He's like, alright, he'll stick around. So Reb Bender, he really gave him so much attention, and he spoke with him, and he was mechazik him, he gave him so much chizik, that by the time they were done, he decided to change his whole life, and he really became from. He started slowly, like, he really gave him so much, that he got to make it up to the guy. So then, we got to give him, sometimes you change someone's life, not simply. Who has a Seder is? Who knows what that is? What can you do for someone? Even if you can't let him pour his own wine yet. And we're talking about diehard, like the real deal. This guy dropped it. He wasn't there. Knew better, didn't know better, hit in the hair. He was with the community where everyone was doing it, which is what we're talking about usually. The Gemara is talking about everyone was keeping Shabbos, and he dropped it. He's of the few who dropped it, like knowingly dropped it. And maybe your friend is also in that category, like he was. But again, usually today with in America or wherever, people are just so mixed in, and they don't know anything. It's unbelievable how ignorant. No, I think you can wear. I wouldn't be worried about him now if you keep it.
What about someone who's misnagging?
Who's what?
What about someone who's misnagging?
Who's misnagging?
Yeah.
Of the misnagging, the camp of the misnagging. The opponents to Hasidut. I mean, listen, usually, again, they don't know any better. It's not their fault. I would listen to this kiddish probably. I mean, Rav Zilber, Michal Zilber said about a certain big misnagging. He was such a big misnagging. He said that Mr. Brewer is no good. Why is Mr. Brewer no good? He brings the Shulchan Aruch Harav, and there was a harem. They've excommunicated the Hasidim. Shulchan Aruch Harav is a Hasidic work, and he brings him as if it's an important halachic codifier, decider, and that's not okay. So Mr. Brewer is no good. So Rav Zilber said about him, you need to put him in harem for having the nerve to say that about the Mr. Brewer. But so there are all sorts of weirdos around.
Could you say this? I'm really confused.
He said the Mishnah Brewer is no good because he brings the Baal Tanya. We all know the Baal Tanya was a Hasidic authority. So those Hasidim, they're no good. We know that. Everybody knows that. Menachem, they signed a whole document. It's already over 100 years. It's already gone. Rabbi Kirag already started to, like, eventually at the end of his life, was like, if they just drop this whole thing. And no one acts on it, and no one pays attention to it, and no one anything. And he decided to, like, what do you mean? They never negated it per se. So that was his.
Okay. Given the high intermarriage rate in the United States, what if you have a mixed couple?
A mixed couple.
Anyway, one of his spouses is not Jewish.
Oh. So I don't understand. What do you mean? In terms of the wine?
Yeah.
Kiddush? Huh?
They make Kiddush?
You can make kiddush. Just the one, you have a problem. I mean, the husband or the wife, it's just the same as anybody else. A Jew doesn't keep Shabbos, it's the same thing. The fact that he married a non-Jewish, I mean, he doesn't know better. I'm sure she's a wonderful person. He doesn't understand that there's something in his soul that's not a good thing. He doesn't get it. If you try to convince him, he's going to think you're crazy. Give me more. What, I married a monkey? Like what I did. Married a woman, what do you want? Like you. What's the difference? Yours is Jewish, mine's not. What's the difference? He doesn't get it. So we'll say, well, there are certain things that there's a little bit of a difference. I mean, it doesn't, the Jewishness doesn't continue to the children if your wife is not Jewish. But he doesn't get that. He doesn't understand that. Eventually, afterwards, he'll understand. But then he'll be saying things like, well, the raised Jewish is good enough, he'll believe this, believe that. And the next generation, no one will care about being Jewish. So they don't care anyway. So what's the problem?
That's why there's a silent Holocaust in the United States.
In a way, yeah, it's very, very sad. Spiritually, there is tremendous loss. People don't want to know better. The natural progression of reforming conservatives is coming to its end. It's a very bitter end, unfortunately. Very bitter. Those shows, I mean, my father remembered. He said, he heard from his father, I think, in Long Island, where we lived, in Long Island, there were like a few dozen shuls that out of the blue became conservative. Why? There used to be Orthodox with Mechitza, they dropped in Mechitza. Why? Because the conservative movement went to each of those shuls, they found big donors, and they said, you become conservative, drop your Mechitza, we pay 1 year salary of your rabbi. You take our man for your rabbi, we'll pay his first year salary, it's free. So like, well, you get to save that much money, fine, we'll do it. A lot of shuls, just drop, all of them dropped in mass.
Wow.
So now, none of them are Jewish.
Conservative, and it's like Orthodox.
So why don't we go back to the Jews? You don't see it, you agree. You see, you raise the keys.
You have a problem.
Yeah.
You have a problem.
If you raise the keys, we'll pay your rabbi salary for 1 year.
We'll
give you a rabbi for
really.
Because they didn't convert Orthodox in South America. So they can't convert. Conservative, they come here, they live like Orthodox, but they convert them, you know.
It's hard. I mean, you have to find who's going to sign that they know the person. Who's going to sign? To find someone to sign from where you come from. The question, can they find you? But yeah, it's very hard. I mean, I heard about a case. It's not a fun case. Where the mother was from Red Indian, from Indian blood, that was where she was from, her mother was from, and the father remarried and didn't tell anyone, and she didn't tell anyone, and their kids acted Jewish and everything was the same. They came to Israel and they're married and they're not Jewish. Nobody knows. He's like, I married into the family, so I know what's going on there, and I can't do anything. He tried to explain it wasn't, the conversion wasn't real, your grandmother or whatever, it's like, they don't know what you're talking about, they don't care.
The woman she called conservative, she married a Kohen.
That's not so good. No good. It's a problem.
The kid, the child, was
another famous rabbi that married them.
Huh?
Another famous rabbi that married them. He knew it. Married a Gyaris and a Kohen.
A Gyaris. Famous rabbi. He's no rabbi. He's a rabbi. He's the wrong type of rabbi. Rabbi Nachman says in the Kutman, there's two types of rabbis. Rabbi can mean Rosh B'nai Yisrael, the head of the Jewish people, or Ra B'nai Hashem. Even in God's eyes. He's the second kind, unfortunately, he's in that, on that action.
It's scary, because if he's alive today, people would be...
Huh?
He's alive today. He's a Rebbe alive today. Kosher for Rebbe.
Well, he's not that kosher. Maybe he didn't know, maybe he didn't realize what he was doing.
He knew that he was going to shoot the heroes. He knew that.
He's one of these very, very ignorant Rebbes, I guess. Are we doing Pesach Joy, or are we continuing Kiddush? What are we doing?
Why don't we just continue?
Okay, let's continue.
Oh,
let's a little more about Kiddush. We can't make Kiddush on wine that has a bad smell. No Kiddush on wine that has a bad smell. Even if it only has a bad smell because the person put it in a vessel that has a bad smell.
How do you define a bad smell? I mean, there are some wines that my wife just can't stand because they're too dry.
No, it has to be something that everyone understands is disgusting. It's got a terrible smell because of the vessel it was in. Now it smells like wine, and I don't like this type of wine. That doesn't matter. You shouldn't have it. She shouldn't have it. Yeah, you're right. She doesn't like it.
Actually,
you don't like something, don't have it.
You actually wipe the kiddush cup down on the floor, right?
Yeah.
It smells good.
If you did that, you have a problem. If it smells bad. No, really, if it smells bad, if it messes up the wine, even though the wine smells great, everything's great, there's a smell there because of the kiddush, it's already no good.
Wow.
Is it because of the verse? The verse says, give it to your officers. Will he appreciate it?
Wow.
Will he like it? No, because you're not honoring the person. You have to honor Hashem. You do it in a way you have something to do, so you do it in a way that's proper. So you also shouldn't do kiddush on wine that was left open, left uncovered.
How long?
He says even a little bit of time. You should be careful. But after the fact,
if you take a coast like this and put it over top.
Yes, anything. After the fact, you should worry. But if you left it out all night, it's puzzle.
I always think you don't make kiddush. You have only one wine, and the goy was touched this wine. You can make kiddush with that.
Nope.
I listen because the only thing means is mahush. It's all the negative means.
Use challah. Yeah.
It's mahush.
After mavushal, it's okay.
Yeah, that's boiled wine.
There's mavushal, so
it would not listen because he told me the positive mitzvah is not the negative mitzvah.
It's not only that. I mean, that's also true. It's not only that. It's also that
it ruins the wine.
What if he's an Arab?
It ruins the wine, so it's not.
Obviously, he's not ruins the wine. He's mine. Even the conversion process is
different. It's a different problem. Conversion process, you still have to be careful.
I didn't say what was the question?
No, if the person is non-hire, if he's in the conversion process, or he's obviously not a Lozera, is it still a problem?
Okay.
It's only if the wine is expensive. You can, if you left it open and it's not, didn't get bad, it's the same taste, the same smell, you're allowed to make kiddush on it. So, but only if it's expensive. If it's not expensive, even if you left it open for all night or for too long, you should use other wine. You shouldn't reuse it. Unless you don't have a choice, you have another wine.
When I was studying with my Rav, he would make kiddush and hand me a cup of wine or a cup of grape juice.
Mm-hmm.
But it was normally mavushal.
Mavushal is no problem. Even if it's not mavushal, if he hands you for you, it's no problem. For you to give someone else might be a problem. So you're Jewish.
Now, what if we're passing it down? Or we're passing it to someone?
If it's mavushal, it's no problem. If it's not mavushal, it's probably a problem. There might be a little bit of a way to make things lenient, but it's not a good idea. Put it like that. Not yet a good idea.
Then how do you pass it around the table? Pass cups around the table?
I get up. I don't pass around the table. I get up.
So you're getting up.
Not only do I get up, and I give to the person sitting across all the way to the table. Then I give to one next to him and next to him. I give to the next one next to him, next to him. So they don't pass. I don't want them to pass. I want to say I give out. When I say I give out, it's an inyan. I have a particular mitzvah to give each person their one. Don't pass.
The leniency with is with me, but not with one.
Yeah, no, it's not a good idea. It's not a good idea. No, it's exactly. It doesn't matter. Again, there are, like you said, an Arab or someone who's not an adulterer. It's not a good. It's not what it's supposed to be. It's not the way it's supposed to be yet. First, he does the gears, then he's where he's supposed to be. Yet. Until then, this is one of the things he's got to be worried. He's got to be worried about.
Don't let him marry.
It's one of
the
things. Huh?
Don't let him marry. One of the things.
It's not only intermarry, it's a kedusha thing. Okay, this is the same thing. We've spoken about this before, and that's the same thing in terms of intermarriage. A person he doesn't know better because when a person is Jewish or he does gerus, he activates his neshama. Something gets turned on and it gets changed. So that's what we want to do when we make kiddush. We're trying to bring something very high down. We saw a little bit yesterday in the Chesed Avraham what it was. We're trying to bring down an ore. Very big illumination. So, when you have someone with the greatest intentions, the best person, he could be the biggest Noachai in the world, and he touches this wine, what he touches can't get there. That's the idea. He's not yet activated. Even though he's on the way to being activated. And by the way, I do not in any way, I don't want to denigrate a conservative a conversion. It's not yet the way it's supposed to be. He's not yet a Jew, but he could be very sincere. What he does is very, very precious, just like any person. Rabbi Nachman says, no good desire even is ever lost. He's sincere, he wants. He didn't know better, or he didn't have the opportunity, or they wouldn't let him in South America, they're afraid that he's not sincere. If he is sincere, we're supposed to know. But he's unfortunately not Jewish. The activation didn't happen. Consider that you can do 100 slide shows and you can jump in the mikvah 300 times, it doesn't help. Right? Whatever they do, I don't know what they do. Because until you accept mitzvah, this is really, this is not Jewish. You have a problem. That's just the way Hashem made it. Then you can activate and there's something changes. Until then, it's not there. So you can't get where you need to go with the wine. The wine gets, again, the wine represents the very first thing on Adam and Eve and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So that's what he's saying. So you have to be very careful. That's why the not good. Yain Neser, there's a lot of not good stigmas. It's not just, Yain Neser is one thing. There's a lot of bad things. He is blocked from getting into the next world. You don't get in.
He's blocked from
getting into the next world. There's something in the next world called the Suda. There's a meal, whatever that means, a very high spiritual reality. And partaking of wine like that doesn't let him in. He can't get in. So you don't get in.
So someone who's not Jewish or Noahide or hasn't gone through a complete kosher conversion doesn't get in?
I don't know. That I don't know. A Jew who partook of Yain Nesach for sure doesn't get in. And it says the tzaddikim will partake of this meal. I'm not sure what the... I haven't yet seen a clear discussion of who gets in and who doesn't. World to come, the pious of the nations get in. This Suda, I don't know. But a Jew who partook of or did business with this type of wine, it gets hard.
What type of wine?
This non-Jewish wine, Yain Nesef, or Yain Stam Yeinu, he can't get in. Now,
so if you're drinking non-kosher wine,
it's a stigma. It gets hard to it's a Kabbalah thing. Kabbalah things, there are exceptions, but often, not always. So could there be exception? Maybe, I don't know. Generally speaking, he's not in. He can't get in. He's barred.
Wow.
If he doesn't know better, and his whole life was self-sacrifice for Jews, I don't know what's going to happen. How am I supposed to know? Or self-sacrifice for human beings. And he really, really only thought of Hashem. Maybe he will. I don't know what he's going to get. I have no idea. I have no information. But generally speaking, this is a stigma. This messes him up.
Now, is that for any kind of wine, or is wine with just a certain kind of texture? I mean, what about the wines that don't have the best textures?
It's different. It's totally different. Handling wine, wine that's handled by a non-Jew, it's a different level totally. In other words, if you gave me a choice, you said, okay, person's starving, he's very thirsty, he only has wine, he has two choices, Rabbanut, or even Otzer Bezin, even Sol, whatever you want, Shemitah wine, whatever you want to call it, or wine handled by a non-Jew, on any of these levels, he takes the Rabbanut wine in a second. And he's grateful, because the other wine, he's got a serious problem. Some people say he can't drink it at all. It's like, oh, it's a question about God. It's like, he's got problems. The Chassidim, I just want to say one thing, I'm sorry, but on the topic, we'll get there with the Bereish Chayev, where he does have a whole section on Yain Nesach. But there are some Chassidim that they only make their own wine because if a guy looked at the bottle of their wine, they don't want to use it anymore for Kiddush. That's not halachic. They ask him, he's like, no, that's not halachic. That is a stringency. There's no halachic basis for that. But Kabbalistically, there are sources that wine, if you really want to get places, you want to get to certain realms, you can't get in there either unless it's totally pristine wine. Like, again, I don't do this at all. I don't even try to do this. But there are those who are careful.
Hashem has very difficult here because our government allowed Jews convert conservative to reformists to like the Jews in the same.
It's a problem. It's one of many problems. That's nothing. They let the Russians come in with only their father's Jewish.
When you go get married in Israel, everything is blocked.
It gets harder.
You can't get married to another Jew.
It gets harder. I hope it continues that way.
You can't get married.
It'll be very sad if it doesn't. I feel bad for all the converts who went through the Israeli government, the Rabbanut. The minute they come to a standard, if they drop their standards, those comrades are all going to suffer, and I feel bad for them. I really do. Because it's all going to be, who knows what this conversion is worth, and what it was worth, and what it is worth, gets really not easy, which is very sad. It's very, very sad.
I mean, normally, my experience was about 2 years of study, and it was like 4 hours a night, four nights a week, or five nights a week, and we had the grandson of Moshe Feinstein, the Rav who studied under the founder of Eishet Torah, and the head of the community.
Fine. Sounds good.
And then they want to give the care certificate for a year and a half after I went through mikveh and bris.
Well, it's slow. They're slow, that's for sure. So, I mean, there are some places, like maybe in South America, I know in London, In London, they say, you can study or not study. Talk to us in 2 years. If you're still interested, we'll start the process.
Right. Exactly.
So totally, you know.
Exactly.
I know a guy here in Tel Aviv. He's married and she's Jewish. He was not Jewish in South America. He made his conversion in Tel Aviv. And in the liquid, they go to Tel Aviv in the beach. Then he had a second session in the hospital with three doctors.
He needs to take on mitzvahs. No mitzvahs, no gears. Sorry. You don't want to keep Shabbos, at least to decide. It's no gears. So is there any opinion in the world?
In his mind, is the truth. Understand? So,
you have to take on mitzvahs. Don't take on mitzvahs.
Let's say, keep on everything, maybe tzitzit.
How are you going to know?
You think he's a Jew?
It's very hard. At least his children are Jewish. That's good.
I mean, the Reform conversion is, what was it, 12 classes an hour each.
Well, 12 classes more than I thought. I'm just kidding.
It's either 12 or 6, I forget which. It was so long ago.
Wow. It's very not simple. I mean, I know one person was told to just do a slideshow about what being Jewish means to you and you become Jewish with bagels. Slideshow of bagels, you're Jewish. You don't need a mikvah, don't need anything else. You don't need to learn. You learned enough for yourself. Research, that's fine. Slideshow for everyone, you're Jewish. He did the slideshow, but this doesn't seem right somehow. It doesn't seem to have changed in an integral way. He didn't feel like he did well enough. But again, people, they don't know. They don't know what he's supposed to do with stuff. He doesn't know. Well, it's not his fault. You know, how are you supposed to know? Who told me? How am I supposed to? It's like a journey.
But as you say, it's taking on the mitzvahs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's raising your children.
Yes.
Used to that. They're on a higher level than you are.
Usually. Yeah, again, that's the rule. You can break through, maybe. Not so simple. There were those who broke through. Obadja, the prophet Obadja was from a guy from Edom, and he broke through. Gerez, because of his coming in, he's supposed to be unable to receive prophecy. Bona fide prophecy is supposed to be unable to receive it. He got it.
Obadja was a prophet. He got a little bit when he came in. That was the level that he got when he became a Ger, because he was able to see something. He only got a teeny bit, but that's it. That's all Ramos says in.
He's one of the prophets.
Yeah. That all Gerim get a little bit of prophecy, a small level, when they become, because they saw something.
That's a different Bechina. That's something else. The Rambam lists 15 levels of prophecy, right. And the lowest level of prophecy, which you feel something, a spark that pushes you somewhere, which is real, that they get before every convert gets before it converts. Very beautiful, very wonderful, but... I mean, we're talking about level 15,
right.
Or 14, the highest of the highest levels of prophecy, which is the real deal. So, you know, as a prophet from Hashem, usually you can't get it. Don't worry, today nobody gets it. I mean, don't get me wrong. We haven't gotten it in many centuries. But
what about all the tzaddikim that are doing all these miracles?
Ruach HaKodesh. That's a person who gets Ruach HaKodesh, yes. He's very active. He's accessing something. I mean, the Esrei Chaim Brisker, is there a prophecy today? So he said, for the Rambam, this is what he says. The Rambam has 15 levels. He said, okay, so level 15 or 14, the higher levels? No. He said, but I'll tell you a story. There were these two business associates who, part of their assets, a warehouse, burnt down. And they thought the book with all the list of exactly what was whose went with the factory, went with their warehouse, whatever it was. So they said, we don't know whose is whose. And each business deal for 20, 30 years, we're dividing like arbitrarily, depends how much work each person put in. Like, we don't own half. We don't know who's, you can't like to divide half. I don't remember. I don't know who's half. There was a lot of assets. Maybe I've got 2/3, maybe I've got 1/3. I don't know. It's a lot of money. But like, how we just divide by half, it seems very arbitrary. It's for sure going to be wrong. I'm not even sure which one has more. She said, okay, leave me a list of all your remaining assets. Come back tomorrow. They came back, he gave them a list. They're like, all right. One guy had 1/3, one guy 2/3, whatever, and each thing divided up. Where'd he get it from? We don't know. They were cleaning out the whatever was remained, the charred remains of that warehouse. They found the book. It was under something, it did this last. So they looked at the list, it was exactly right. He says, that is not, there's no way to do that with logic. That you have to get something. Like you said, tzaddikim, so he can write down, somehow he's copying from the book. I don't know, however he just can feel. He sees it's this much and that much, it's exactly the same. all the way down the list, he said, that doesn't, you can't do that without getting something. You have a level, but it's not the proper Ruach HaKodesh of prophets. But like I said, Ovadia broke through. The Rebbe Moshe said it. The Gemara says he had a lot of self-sacrifice to help the Nevi'im, to give them food, to give them, risk his life for them. So that enabled him to access levels he shouldn't have had. So you never know, it's possible. It's just not easy. Possible, and Rabbi Nachman very much is into the breaking through that are not easy.
But that's the idea. I mean, life is not easy. I mean, you're here to, you come down from, you know, the Shemayim as a neshama to do work, not to
absolutely
sit on the beach watching God knows what.
Absolutely. No, that's what Nachman said. That's what Nachman said. I mean, it comes out. It's great. The Shem Yishmol says, I might have told this over, remember, he says that Yehuda, says the brother said, okay, you sold Yosef, you told us to sell him, if you told us to let him go, we would have. And now our father Yaakov is so upset and besides himself, he can't even console him. Well, that was a dumb idea. We don't want you to be the king over us anymore. You messed up. So he went. He says he went and he got married. What does it have to do with anything? What made him get married? Time for Chasna. So the Shem Yishmol brings, he says, he went because he decided I had to start from scratch, from ABC. What's the first mitzvah Torah? Marriage? I'm going to get married. From beginning, I ruined everything. So I start totally new and fresh, like a ger. I'm a ger. That's it. So I need to get married. Torah says get married. I get married. So he went and got married. That's how he felt. So the Shem Yishmol says, theoretically, we can all access this level. But it's not easy to really start over fresh. But you're not going to emphasizes, no, you need to start over. This was the path to joy I wanted to do today. We have time, we'll do a little bit, at least a drop. So I want to say something else, maybe tomorrow. But you have to start over. It's clear that he wants you to get to that level where you really start over fresh. Very powerful. Nothing is like, wow. Because you have a gerah, that one time you took on the mitzvah and was sincere, he's Jewish. He said, what do you think if you do that after your gerah? If you do that because you're not a gerah, you're a Jew, and you want to do tshuva, that doesn't work cumulatively and become more powerful and clean everything out? Of course it does. So it's hard. Okay, it's not always so easy. Again, the cup gets poured out sometimes. You get poured out. Okay, the cup gets poured out. No problem. Bring another cup of wine. I don't care. Start again. You do. Start again. Make another duffel. But you don't have to make another kiddush. That kiddush worked. And the next kiddush is also going to work. It stays forever. It doesn't go away. Kedusha never leaves. That's what we said. When the kedusha goes somewhere, it stays forever. It doesn't go away. It doesn't dissipate. There's no way to remove it. It just remains. Baruch Hashem, we did a little bit of halacha. Hopefully we'll do a little bit tomorrow too. See, I'll finish mine. Oh, I gotta go.